morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, March 2nd, 2010. You're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio station at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. And this is Air Cascadia, long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre. Liam Delta will be back tomorrow when our guest will be Dave Rovics. First, the weather. Rain expected today with a high of 54, lows around 39. Tomorrow the rain stays with us for another day, highs of 56, lows around 40. And Thursday we'll have a bit of sun and a high of 55, lows around 38. Listeners will recall that KBOO had a day of fundraising for Haiti. And you, the KBOO family, put together over $10,000. All of it will go to grassroots organizations working directly with the people. One of the most interesting guests on our Haiti special was Ray LaForest. Ray is with the International Support Haiti Network, WBAI, and he's been a labor rights activist for many years. His insight into the real politics that lurk behind the scenes prompted me to invite him back to continue the conversation. Good morning, Ray, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning.
Well, it was wonderful talking to you before, and there was so much more left to say and so many more questions. More and more these days, we've been bearing witness to America deploying military forces in the name of peacekeeping, but actually it's to protect U.S. business interests overseas. What has the military presence in Haiti accomplished, and can you speculate on its true goals?
Well, I think you put your finger on it. Clearly, to judge what's happening now, we have to look at what they're doing, also what they've done in the past, and at least in the recent past anyway. But Haitians are very suspicious of this particular army. In 1915, Haiti was invaded by the United States, which went about creating a centralized army that was educated, trained by the United States, and controlled the destiny of the country until 1957, when Papa Doc came into power, became a dictator, and realized one of the means for him of control is to get rid of the army, which he did. And replaced it by a militia. And the army we constituted later, and Aristide tried to get rid of it, but didn't have the means of disarming it. So that very army was used to overthrow him. Now, when the U.S., when Aristide was overthrown, clearly that was with the blessing of the U.S. embassy. And American troops came into the country, and eventually they left only to be replaced by so-called MINUSTAH, United Nations troops. Now, this time around, they came, and like all the other countries that supported Haiti, they brought troops immediately. Actually, these troops they took over the airport, and they interfered with the delivery of goods that was taking place. And even when they were assisting, and this is nothing personal against the individuals who were there, I'm sure many of them mean well, but many organizations and countries complained. Actually, the French Minister for Cooperation actually used a strong term by saying this was not supposed to be an occupation. Yeah. And even the Red Cross complained. I know that the Doctors Without Borders complained that some of the medicine and equipment that they needed for immediate surgery were not available. The plane had to land in the Dominican Republic and take an 8-hour drive into Haiti, and sometimes resulting in unnecessary amputation and so on. But clearly, the game plan is to control the situation, and at some point, there are 20,000 troops, and there are some pictures that are fairly revealing of as many as 10 soldiers standing in front of the the main hospital, and not participating in any way at all in assisting.
Well, one would have to, you know, it seems that Just looking at the situation, we hear very little from René Préval, and he seems to have been somewhat ineffective as far as leadership in the aftermath of the earthquake. It seems that perhaps the American military presence is there to prevent Fahmi Lamala's partisans from raising the cry to reinstate Jean-Bertrand Aristide in his rightful place. He would probably, one might speculate, be a more effective leader, since he certainly would have the vast overall support of the community, not just the very wealthy. Can you talk a little bit about Fahmi Lamala's and Aristide, its sort of shadowy presence in the background of all of this?
Absolutely. Aristide right now, in spite of his mistake, is still the most popular individual in Haiti. And after Aristide was overthrown, partially because he accepted to, as a compromise, they had absolutely refused him they denied him access to any fund. He received absolutely zero funding while he was president the second time. And any fund that came to Haiti went to NGOs and front organizations and so on, and organizations posing as organizations that were against him, to give legitimacy to that movement or to oppose him. And Préval himself was elected, really. So anyway, once Aristide was pushed out, there is a usual system of there were violence against people. People were forced out of the country, and some people were killed to weaken the movement for change in Haiti. And when they felt they were ready, then they organized election, which is a typical pattern when they think they can win it. And in spite of that, many of the supporters of Aristide, when they realized Aristide could not return, since Préval had been Aristide's prime minister at some point, they voted for Préval en masse, and Préval won. But that was a much weaker Préval. We didn't have the numbers, the charisma, the support that Aristide had, and nor the program. For example, you can see that even though Aristide went back with U.S. troops and supposedly to implement a neoliberal program that called for the privatization of all state industries in Haiti, and the state was the largest employer, is the largest employer still, Aristide actually did not privatize any institution, and all the privatization has been done under the two Préval administrations. So clearly, the U.S. troops are there to prevent any radical change, because the situation in Haiti, the exploitation of the majority of Haitians is so outrageous that any solution would have to diminish the huge profits that are made by American companies in Haiti, by the Haitian upper class, which allies itself to those foreign interests, and that they will not have. So, and at this moment, clearly the front runner for the people would be Aristide. One can see that at some of the demonstrations that took place, for example, when the French president visited Sarkozy to demand reparation for the money that Haiti had been forced to pay to France, many of the supporters carried signs and pictures of President Aristide. So the Lavalas Party is the largest popular organization in Haiti. And this is the entity that has to be controlled if neoliberalization has to be implemented in Haiti.
If we look at the government of Aristide and the government of René Préval, how does labor fare? Also let's take a look at labor in Haiti before the earthquake and afterwards. It seems that the military presence, which is wholly unnecessary since Haitians obviously are absolute masters at forming communities and ties, linkages, connections, coalitions between one another that strengthen the people as a whole. Has there been any signs of collusion between the military and the Préval government to prevent Haitian labor movements from gaining strength? Can you talk a little bit about that complex relationship?
The government has a program that actually denies, it's the application of the neoliberal plan, and the military is there to keep order. and to make sure that the plan doesn't get derailed. For example, one of the dire circumstances we're seeing right now is that under the first prevailing administration, they privatized the phone company. They privatized the cement company and the flour mill. And then under the second prevailing administration, they privatized the phone company. So that the Haiti now is in a position where they need food and they have to import it. They need, because of flour, they need cement to reconstruction, they have to import that. And as, of course, the phone lines went down and everything, and they died again, they have to pay for. And in that, in the process of ending those jobs, they also destroyed the very unions that represented those workers that were in that were employed in those industries. I remember even as soon as Debbie Doc was overthrown, one of the largest companies, Haitian American Sugar Company, Hasco, was purchased by an individual, a wealthy Haitian, who proceeded very quickly to close it, because this way he could just close it, guarantee his profit, import sugar in Haiti, when Haiti used to be an exporter of goods. And so this is the plan that is the return to a system where the Disneys will come back to Haiti and open factories and pay minimum salary. For example, there was a recent struggle in the private administration to raise the salary of Haitian, which has been really suffering. So a typical salary of workers, and I'm not even talking about people who are working as servants, and I'm talking about people who are working in industry and businesses, and the salary was 70 goods, which is $2 per day. And
$2 a day.
Yes, there were a strong attempt to bring it to 200 goods, which would have been $5.
That's very harsh. But
Congress voted a resolution for that, which was vetoed under the pressure of the business class. Prevailed as the president vetoed it, and what finally passed was something which is the equivalent of $1.25 per day.
$1.25. That is very telling. In the couple of minutes that we have left, can you talk a little bit about what you can conceive of labor movements and workers' rights in Haiti in the aftermath of the earthquake? How's the disaster going to change the face of labor?
Well, labor is affected tremendously. For example, labor has been weak for a long time, and when you have members who are so poor or making so little money that you cannot even get dues, collective contribution to support the institutions, and that institution has to protect as to support the members themselves, you have a difficult situation. But however, as you said earlier, Haitians have a long history. There's something called combat, where even when you have a field and you don't have the means to get equipment and so on, so as you're tilling and everybody in the area comes and works in your field together, and then when the next person needs to do job, then you go work in the field and so on. And that kind of spirit has been carried out. When Baby Doc was overthrown, popular organization and trade unions is multiplied like mushroom in the shade, I was going to say in the sun, at an incredible rate. In many ways, Haitian people are very political, you could say, and very pay attention tremendously to what's going on in the political world and where decisions are made and how they impacted upon them. And the potential is still there because they have never stopped fighting. So what would be needed would be the support of progressive forces and support of outside forces, such as trade unions that are progressive, that understand that not only on a humanitarian or philosophical basis those forces should be helped, but as long as labor is weak, then the working class in Haiti will be exploited, and therefore whatever happens over there would compete with whatever thing we could do over here. So that whatever competition, whenever workers here would organize to improve the situation, they always be able to take out the industry and ship it abroad. And Haiti has long time has played that role of the cheapest country where the salaries are the lowest, actually competing with China or even lower, where therefore threatening all the area, being used as a bargaining chip, so that any organization and workers' organization in the area, Latin America particularly, would be threatened with removal of the industry and shipping it to Haiti.
Ray, thank you so much. We have no more time today. Again, love to invite you back at a future date on Air Cascadia. We wish you all the best. You've been a tireless worker for social justice and human rights in Haiti and, of course, here in the United States. And I want to thank you so much for joining us today on Air Cascadia. Do you want to just quickly give a website where people can get more information?
Yes, well...
We're completely out of time. I'm so sorry. I will put the information on our website so that listeners can find out more. Thanks very much for that.
Thank you very much. Thank
you. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, March 2nd, 2010. The engineer is Janet Anderson. Kathleen Stevens is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I produced this program. Liam Delt will be back tomorrow with Dave Rowicks, our guest for Wednesday. You've been listening to News and Comment on Air Cascadia, KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM in Portland, KBOO.FM on the web. Stay tuned for more great radio from your community radio station. Thanks for listening and have a good day.